Welcome, everybody. This is SharePoint Weekly. It is episode 69. Well, like, just inform me on that one because
you're welcome.
Okay, thank you. I always forget about what it is. So, welcome to SharePoint Weekly. My name is Sasha Ivonen. I'm Principal Program Manager from the Microsoft 365 and the OneDrive SharePoint Engineering. And with me as a co-host is Waldek. Who are you? Let's try to learn to
My name is Waldek Mustek. I am head of product at Rancor. And today we have a guest, Agnes.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Agnes Molnar, and I run my consulting company called Search Explained. In a nutshell, what we do is we explain how search works in SharePoint and Office 365. So what I personally do, I run this company. I do consulting, I do training and workshops around the world. I have a small dev team as well. So whenever you need customizations, additional components for everything that is search related, then my team helps me. And in the last year and a half, we have been involved into many knowledge management projects as well. So more and more organizations recognize that part of the knowledge management search should be an important thing, and they involve us. This is pretty much my life. Right now I am home, but this is not happening too often these days.
So, and you've been in the search area for a long time, right? So you started with a SharePoint which version?
Oh, well,
SharePoint or something.
I started with SharePoint in 2001, actually. And yeah, it was really funny. Those days, it was a long time ago. Those days, I used to be a developer, believe or not.
And I believe.
And I was working for a company, and the company itself was not a Microsoft shop company, but somehow they figured out that they wanted to do a proof of concept on a new platform called .NET, on a new thing called SharePoint. So they hired a team of three of us to do a proof of concept. So we coded in .NET, we used the SharePoint APIs and created a rich Windows application. But I had no, it was SharePoint 2001. And the funny thing, actually there are two funny things. The first one is my job was to use the search APIs, even those
in 2001.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number two, I had no idea that SharePoint had a user interface, because that was just a set of APIs for me. So that the project was successful, and everyone considered that the three of us know SharePoint.
Yeah.
So in the next project, I was involved, and the other guys were involved as well. So I got a new project, a SharePoint document management project, and you know, I got, here is your, you know, login and everything. So I logged in, and boom, there was something on the in the browser called SharePoint.
What is
and
this?
Like, what is this? And they said, you are a SharePoint expert. I'm like, this is what?
I've never seen this before.
I was really confused. The good thing was I was still working with the same company, so they kind of understood the situation, but it was really weird. So this is how it all started. It was like an accident. But somehow I stayed with SharePoint, and my next company recognized me as a SharePoint expert. I started to teach SharePoint and everything like that. And and then in 2011, there was the Evolutions conference in London, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. And Steve called me to speak at the conference. And I don't know, I got some document management, content management session, but he also told me, hey, would you mind to do a search session as well? Because search is somewhat related to content management. I was like, sure.
Somewhat.
So this is how I started to, you know, work with search. So it was the second accident in my life. And here I am. Now here I am. Yes. It's a kind of funny
But so you mentioned two interesting things, right? So one is like, what surprises me is that already in 2001, you got the task to do something with search, where in reality, at least from where I saw things, like many companies were back then, they would have the hierarchy of folders on a Z drive or somewhere, and they would know exactly where everything was filed. Like, there was no search because, like, you had file structure and you knew exactly where to go for what, right? Mm-hmm. So then to think in terms of that about search, like, why? Like, we knew exactly where what was where, right?
Basically, the company, this company where I worked with was a kind of mature in this meaning because they were a Lotus Notes company. So they had a lot of applications and different kinds of content and everything on Lotus Notes. So the goal of proof of concept was to do something similar on not SharePoint. Lotus Notes, on SharePoint.
Anything but notes.
Exactly.
Back in the time, Lotus Notes was by far the biggest product related on collaboration as well. So,
You could squeeze everything into it. Seriously, it was not no collaboration. It was email. Yeah. It was seriously everything.
Absolutely.
And then it had the extensibility model. You were able to do small applications, and that's why we came up with SharePoint Designer, by the way, because we needed to have some sort of a way, which was a bad mistake, but that's not. Yeah.
But it was free. SharePoint Designer was free.
True.
Eventually.
Yes.
Now let's go back on slightly forward on time. So you've been working now for some time on search. Then what do you think, what was your thoughts related on Fast acquisition? When was it? That was 2013,
yeah.
Or, well, 2013 wasn't yet. Was it already fully integrated?
Yeah, you could integrate Fast in 2010 as well, but there was a separate thing, yeah.
I think the acquisition happened in 2008, and in SharePoint 2010, we had this Fast Search for SharePoint thing, which is a separate license, a separate installation, separate everything, but they could communicate. I mean, SharePoint Enterprise and Fast Search. Yes. You know, first of all, it was a really nice challenge to start using Fast Search. So I believe that was the time when I really started to learn how search works, because if you did not understand how everything worked, you had no chance to work with Fast Search or SharePoint.
Yep.
So I was really excited about this acquisition and this thing. And when finally it was integrated to SharePoint, on one hand, it was a really cool thing because finally no Fast Search for SharePoint as a separate product.
Yep.
So it was definitely good for the client. It was definitely good for us. It was definitely good for everybody. On the other hand, yes, they were missing features. Some previous fast customers complained about those missing features. So that was a challenging time again, which was really good. To be honest, what I did not like is the time between SharePoint 2013 and like until two years ago or
really?
1 year
Why?
Ago. It was boring. Nothing happened with search. I mean, if you take SharePoint 2013, SharePoint 2016, Classic in Office 365, they are all the same. I mean, technically speaking, nothing new to learn.
Well, I mean,
there's the Office Graph and the graph behind of the scenes and art, that kind of a thing started emerging, but it wasn't really there.
Yes, but you could not really use the graph with search. I mean, if you think about classic search, what do you do with the graph? Nothing. So from this perspective, yes, obviously you could have a feeling that something interesting is happening and there were many other things to know and learn, but talking about search, the same things and the same, so it was a kind of boring.
Yeah, so I think the big shift was from 2010 to 2013, but then 2016, 2019, it's exactly the same thing. So yeah. From that
or cloud until quite recently.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. I think so. That's an interesting thing because like I rolled into search around 2013 by coincidence because back then I was building internet sites. And in 2013, we got the catalogs. So search driven.
Oh, yeah. The search driven internet sites. Yes. Which was a massive push from Microsoft, but it wasn't really that successful.
It was really from the things that I've done with that, it was really cool. And then he's like, well, search, like, how hard can it be? Like, you type something in a text box and then you get the results. And then you start learning about the things like XRank, like ranking models, like stemming, all the language processing. Like, how does it find words, synonyms? It's like...
Yep.
And I'm not talking about things like the Office graph that we then eventually learned as Delph. Like, that also signals around it and nodes and how to find the right things. Yeah. Let's say about that time frame, I met a bunch of really clever folks in Oslo who were, I think, for a big part of the original team behind Fast. Really kudos to these folks, like the way they think about the way we search and language and what's supposed to be where. It really unbelievable.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if we focus the current more recent things, and obviously we're finally seeing now a kind of a transition on the modern search experiences and all of that. What's your take, Agnes, on the situation over there? So we're finally seeing that, this is the reason why they were silent for a while related on releasing of Microsoft Search, and now we're starting that, all of those things starting to move forward. What's your take on the recent development?
Well, I'm finally excited again, which is good. No, seriously. I seriously consider to start doing something else like 2 years ago. Seriously, I'm here, and I'm glad I'm here. So even today, it's a really exciting challenge because you know if you are, let's say, you are a large company today and you go to Office 365 and we all know that more and more companies deploy Office 365 and they start using it. Search is a big challenge, but classic is not an option anymore, but modern is not there yet.
Right.
So it's, what to tell those clients. And the for me, the primary challenge is if I say something today, in a month or two, it might be expired. Or true. New things come out or something. True. So what I have to do with all my clients and customers is to tell them this is the situation now and then, once in a while to contact them again and again. Hey, this is the news about this. This is the news about that. Now you can use the PMP web parts. You can do this on modern pages, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Even if the project is officially already closed where I was involved because, I would feel guilty otherwise. I have to keep them.
But that's also a sign of a good consultant being actually following up on things and making sure that, hey, by the way, are you aware of these things? Because that's actually a good way of getting additional leads as well as a consultant. So, but to be fair, I think it's more on the fact that making sure that people are aware and that things are evolving. And they're evolving so fast. The search is now moving forward with leaps. It's part of the project Cortex, kind of the bundling into that one as well, which is, by the way, slightly confusing for people. And then there's the Microsoft Search side of the things, and what does it all mean in together?
But I think there's an interesting thing, right? Because, like, yes, you said that classic search is no longer. I mean, it's still there, but it's not recommended to use. And then the modern search isn't there yet. But search is actually two things, right? One, it's the whole engine, the indexing, the API, all of that. And then two, there is the experiences part. Like the API and all of that, that is there, right? I mean, and that's being still all the time improved, invested in, and there is Microsoft Search, and there will be the Cortex thing for which I'm really interested. Like, what will it be? Like, what kind of APIs will we be able to tap into to leverage all of that into everything that we build? And then eventually, sure, down the road, there will be, or at least I would assume that there will be some kind of first-party experiences around that to surface the results if you don't want to build your own. But these are kind of two things. And I think that, like, sure, even if the experiences are not there yet, like, there are ways to fill these gaps, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, it requires some level of a investment on either open source community driven things or then somebody else to provide the experience for now. So, yeah. But I think in the long run, I think it's looking really interesting. And will we get to the, that's actually a good discussion once. Are we finally getting to the moment where metadata doesn't matter and you will find whatever you're looking for in a matter of seconds?
Never.
That's the future.
Never. There you go. Done.
That's my short answer. Never.
Why would you need to have metadata if the system is auto tagging things? So that's a good discussion point as well.
How do you know the quality of auto tagging? And how do you teach the system what to tag? How to tag what? Just tell me one very simple example. You are a smart guy, and you have learned a lot of things about products, about customers, about, I don't know, APIs, about everything. And today you can only surface just one segment of your overall knowledge. If I ask you about something that you did like 2 years ago, or if I ask you something that you discussed with Waldeck like 2 weeks ago, maybe
he wouldn't know
yeah,
anymore.
I wouldn't have any idea. I didn't know what I did yesterday. So
I'm not saying what that you would not remember anything, but maybe you are like, okay, let me take my notes, let me look in my emails, let me do something, because you use those tools, you use emails, you use notes, OneNote, whatever. So imagine this, if you want to scale this, if you say, okay, just the three of us have to work together so strongly that we have to share our knowledge. So you have to know everything about search that I know, and I have to know everything about APIs and dev stuff and PMP that you know. It's just impossible, right? Yeah.
I would start with buying your book and reading it, and then I would be...
that's not the same. That's
of
not
course
the same.
It's not, but that would be something, right?
Yeah, that would be something, but you know that book, that you know this is about SharePoint, this is about search, this is written by me, etc. This is all metadata, if you think about it.
True.
So if I wanted to use your knowledge, I definitely have to know which email is about what, which document is about what, which note is about what. That's metadata. If you want to auto tag everything, it's just impossible. It cannot read your brain.
Maybe it can be
60% good, maybe it can be 80% good, maybe it is better than nothing, but maybe that missing 20%
is exactly what you need.
That's what hurts. So this is why we need, you know, manual content. Even if it's not manual tagging, we need content curation, we need metadata curation, we need machine learning, machine teaching. So
AI, cognitive services to basically understand the language.
We need human beings still. So
there you go, problem solved.
Yeah, so
AI will not remove human jobs.
No.
There you have it. You've heard it first on the SB Dev Weekly.
I mean, it can definitely help. I'm not saying it cannot help. It can.
Yeah.
But it's not like auto-tagging. We don't need metadata. We do need, yes.
Yeah, human mind is so complex, and the association which we can draw out of, well, almost like thin air between the different things is completely different. It's based on our experience. It's based on our background, what you've done in the past. All of that has a massive impact when you're tagging or adding, let's say, free text metadata on things. So
yeah, and also, so there are the things then, like when we say things, sometimes we mean exactly what we say, but sometimes we don't. And it's really hard to get that essence out of it, especially when you are just a model and you're like, okay, so what is 2 + 2? 8. No, it's 4. Okay, so what is 1 + 5? 4. You know, like that's the way you teach machine learning, Yeah. Right? Well, you throw examples at it, and then at some point it's kind of, that's what you mean. And then it's like you have to feed it all the time.
Yes. My favorite English word is interesting. Depending on how you say it,
yes,
it can mean everything.
Interesting. Right? Hell no.
Oh, this is a family show. Don't do that.
Yes.
It's just a word in a dictionary.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, actually, fair point.
Is the 3-letter code for the airport in Helsinki.
That is true. Yeah. And about, it's a good joke when you're flying from Singapore to Helsinki. It's from
Flight 666?
From sin to hell.
Ah, right. Anyway. And there is also Flight 666 to hell, right?
There was. Not anymore. There was I think the last flight, which was 666 to hell, was flown on Friday 13th, but I can't remember if it's last year. So they did it intentionally. Yeah, exactly. But there was a flight from Copenhagen to Helsinki, which was 666, if I remember correctly. So anyway, that's a separate discussion. Let's do some articles and let's get back on the discussion slightly and just making sure that we go through some of this week's news as well. We first go to the SPS events, and we start by Salt Lake Microsoft 365 Friday. So SPS meaning SharePoint Saturday. But I think anyway, SharePoint Saturdays are evolving to be much more than just SharePoint, which is a good thing. And that's a natural transition as we move along to this cloud, which is growing, and there's multiple services there. There's anyway a massive amount of speakers and a big schedule on the SharePoint, Microsoft 365 Friday in Salt Lake City.
Also, even there, right? Even if you look at the agenda there, like you even see things about the Power App, Power Platform,
absolutely,
and so forth. And that is not, even that is not a part of the M365.
Well, debatable. From an end user perspective, it's part of
the Of course. But it's like from the way Microsoft positions that, it's a separate thing.
It's something else, yeah. Because
so it's actually the Microsoft Cloud, Microsoft Cloud Friday.
Yeah, whatever. But yes. Yeah, a lot of familiar names there, MVPs and people talking, a lot of different topics. SharePoint Saturday Chennai in India is happening as well. I think it was, Microsoft Finland. Microsoft Finland. Microsoft. India is organizing this. I need to get some sleep. Sleep more. anyway. So that's happening on next Saturday in 4 days as well. And there's some MVPs and familiar speakers here as well. So if you're on that region, go and check it out. Some news, and we have a SharePoint roadmap pit stop January 2020. And there's always the Intrazone article this time with Nicole. And then the latest news, so SharePoint page version history. This is actually really, really cool. It actually shows you the sections which have been edited. And you can actually then walk through and click things. And it actually
changes. It's really cool.
And in the UI, it actually does the overlapping.
This is brilliant.
It's nice. It's really, really cool.
Like people wanted it for a long, long, long time to be able to see the changes of a page, like what web parts, what zones change between the versions of a page. So this is really awesome. It's like like I haven't heard anything about this coming and now it's there. It's like this is really cool.
Yeah. So we did cover that in Ignite, but I don't think we've been super, super, let's say, vocal on it. One thing which we were quite vocal last week was a customer search result page, which relates on the Agnes discussion as well. So basically, you are able to, in a site collection level, and you're able to say that whenever you do a search, you will not be redirected on the normal underscore layouts page, which is a static page. Well, not static, but you can't modify
fixed.
That experience.
Yeah. It's fixed.
Yeah. You can actually build your custom experience. And like called out in here as well, we do have BMP web parts available. Let's have a look on those in a second, more detailed. But really nice experience, quite widely requested as well. There are a few things potentially to be aware. You need to, this is actually a site collection level setting, not a tenant level setting. You can actually do things using default site designs and all of that stuff, which we cover in some of the videos. But you'd actually control this in a site collection level. Microsoft Stream, Office 365 Video retirement. So Office 365 Video is going to be retired, replaced with Microsoft Stream. There's an ongoing, if we think about this as SharePoint Weekly, there's an ongoing discussions related on APIs. Those are coming up sooner or later as well. Image resizing, I've tested this in our own tenants. That's actually pretty convenient as well. So you can actually just resize the image on fly. Or you can clip the image on fly as well.
So does that tie into the renditions that we got introduced in SharePoint 2013?
Nothing to do with that, no. So basically what happens in here is that when you upload the image, for example, for the image whipper, you're able to then do clipping and creeping and alignment and adjustments of size, and then you save, and that's going to be a new file.
Okay, and that is not related to like fixed formats and all that, though. No, just a copy of the original with exactly dimensions that you said. Okay, cool. So,
flexibility for the content editors to create any size images. SharePoint Dynamic Theme Site Next Steps panel. Quite convenient. So basically, now that you have uploaded and or done something, hey, these are the next steps. So kind of encouraging people to understand what you should be doing, which is a good thing as well.
Is there that you know an ability to tie into that? Because that is like, to me, that is a big chance to expose it to adoption and like ensure that people understand how things work or include some manual guidance or like code of conduct things in there for your company.
That's actually a good point. I'm not aware that we would be able to inject custom things here, but that is actually a really interesting scenario because a lot of the enterprises or mid-sized and larger customers would have their own things to include here and then have a link.
Project guide, project metadata, yes.
Exactly, and to do that. So really, really good point, actually. Email notifications and comments and mentions in Word, PowerPoint, Excel. So somebody has mentioned you in the comments. News article highlights, SharePoint sites, highly regulated data. Okay. So that's more on the legal side of the house. New features coming to Office 365 App Launcher and Office 365. So basically more flexibility on the settings and tacking those. Windows 7 end of support. Okay, that's good to know that we're mentioning that here as well. So a lot of new stuff anyway in here. Related on the search results thing, just to call out, we have the BMP Modern Search solution, and these are actually web parts which gives you the flexibility of creating, let's say, a completely custom modern experience, almost like in the classic. They are really, really flexible. We are working on an additional guidance and improved documentation in here as well. Frank Corner has been leading this together with Mikhail and Tarald and a few others. And it is an open source solution, so you're able to contribute that as well in GitHub. Now, the one small thing what we're missing actually right now in the documentation, though, is that it doesn't actually tell you how to get started, which is it's more difficult. Development oriented, so we need to actually address that in the documentation. But I recorded last Friday, a quick video related on getting started on using the custom search result page in SharePoint online. And basically, how would I do that? How do I control that? How do I create the site pages? And then how do I install the BMP web parts in? And how do I get rid of, for example, the header section as well? Which, by the way, a cool thing, because you are able to fully control the layout as well. So really, really cool.
Nice.
This is Intelligent Intranet Accelerator Workshop Locations 2020. So for a latest and greatest guidance and workshop for how you build intelligence intranet delivered by Microsoft employees. And there's multiple locations of Washington, D.C., Dubai, Australia, San Francisco, Singapore, Copenhagen, Amsterdam, Hong Kong, Chicago, ooh, Germany, Stockholm. That was for the Hong Kong, no, Amsterdam.
Yes.
and I'm pretty sure that we're looking into releasing obviously the material and everything else for the externals to re-deliver, because I think that's the easiest way to scale also in the worldwide. Cute. What else? Announcing BMPJS 2.0 JavaScript libraries. So 2.0 is out. Makes basically development of any extensibility in SharePoint Online really, really easy. So rather than knowing the REST queries, you can actually just do dot, 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 and when you're writing stuff. So
absolutely. Like avoid typos in the REST strings, the URLs, and get compilation time feedback whenever there's something wrong. And this is just make perfect sense, especially when you want to go beyond, give me a web title The moment you want to do more with the data, the moment you want to batch requests, like you don't want to be doing that by yourself. So this API is probably the way to communicate with SharePoint from any client-side application.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Good. Just a quick update on there. Impact authentication for same site changes in Chrome. So this is something which I wanted to call out. There's a few different kind of a pretty recent development. So there's the Chrome is actually doing changes on a default behavior on same site handling. We also seen that some of the provider hosted add-ins are having issues related on app script parts and the session state. And all of these can be actually controlled and configured in the app config. So there are guidance and steps how to address all of this stuff. But if you run into this within your extensibility, please be aware guidance is available. Microsoft Graph PowerShell preview now in PowerShell Gallery from Darrell Miller. So basically, the Microsoft Graph modules are now available. So if you configure or if you operate against any of the systems which are exposed by Microsoft Graph and that has an API, you can actually use now this PowerShell module to operate that, which is pretty cool. So it's auto-generated based on the API surface which you have in Microsoft Graph. So pretty cool stuff. Office 365 CLI. We have a lot of news this week.
New version. So we have new version of CLI. Like every month, we aim to release a version. I don't think we've ever missed a month, but maybe around vacation times. Anyways, we introduce a bunch of new commands for reporting the usage in SharePoint. We have commands that allow you to export groups in Yammer, remove extensions in Microsoft Graph, export connectors in Power Apps and Flow. And also, we've added some improvements around the completion of commands in command line. And this is really cool. If you use the Azure CLI, you might be familiar with the James Path queries that allow you to filter the output of a command. So in Azure, for example, you might want to get your resource groups or functions or VMs, and then you only want to have subsets of them, like name starts with X, or they are enabled or not. And we've added the same query support in CLI here, so that whatever you get, whether you get sites or connectors or Yammer groups or reports or anything, you can filter the output by whatever property is there available. So we have some docs included for that explain what you can do, how it works, how to start. All of that is included in docs. So if you use CLI, I think that would be a great improvement for how you can work with the output more efficiently.
Good. And then moving on the journey, PMP SPFX generator is now having its own Twitter account. So if you're interested in what's happening there, subscribe on that one. So Stefan Bauer is leading this effort. And basically, it is an extended SPFX human generator on top of the out-of-the-box one, which gives you then additional settings and things to automate and make your life easier as a developer. And this one is also interesting. We made some changes on social channels for the latest news and learnings from Microsoft 365 Dev. So we're now kind of gradually leaving the Office Dev 365 and Office Dev hashtags. So we stopped doing that. So basically what happened, I wasn't even aware of this, but you can, I was educated last week that you can do this. You can actually modify the account name. Nowadays in Twitter, which is now good. So Office Dev has been now renamed as Microsoft 365 Dev. And that's why all of the existing followers are still remaining there. And we're doing kind of a similar kind of transitioning between the namings across the whole board, across the whole thing. There's an ongoing discussion, for example, that the SharePoint PMP shouldn't be called SharePoint PMP because we cover much more than SharePoint.
And on that note, related to that, like before this show, we talked that, well, we're named SP Dev Weekly, but it's not SP really, because we talk about other things as well. And it's also not only dev. So what you get in is weekly. We are here every week and we talk about Microsoft technology.
Yes. So, and this week, weekly.
And then basically that, M365 Friday is not SharePoint, not Saturday, but still on SPS website.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's all like Microsoft 365 Friday. Yes. Yeah. That's same thing. There we go. Weekly episodes 70 or episode 71. Now, this one is from Rabia. Rabia, congratulations, by the way, for getting your MVP. So she's a new one starting from February 1st, and it is 3rd today, so really, really fresh. And this one is a nice web part, an extension. Basically, you're able to abstract the ins and out of that code only to be rendered whenever the groups are matching from the groups ID. So it's kind of a target audience functionality when you're doing your implementation. And that's an open source. She's sharing that as a in her GitHub as well. Now, this one is from William Van Stieren. How do you say that in English?
Peculiarity.
Peculiarity, thank you. With upsides. So one thing basically noting here, there's a SPFX extension. There's an SPFX extension, doesn't exist. And this is clearly a bug. So please, if you're running any of these things, always open up an SPDev docs issue. So we are aware of this because we need to get all of this fixed if these things happen. So thank you, William, for the details around that one. PDF document in SPFX, so basically using a third-party JSON PDF plugin to then have a generate PDF button, and then you're able to save a PDF based on clicking that button. So from the table on the web part. Quite convenient.
And I guess that would include like anything you have in a DOM. So if there would be image, I assume basically you can pass the whole thing.
So in here, we are basically getting the
get element line 9. Yes, you get the element, you pass it as a canvas thing to HTML to canvas, and then you pass that as an image to PDF.
And that generates the PDF, yes. Now, episode 84 from 86 from Paolo, and Paolo smiles. So good. He did have a secret message for those who watched last week's Dev Weekly. So you want to scan on his section. He actually talked to us, which was pretty weird. So that's, anyway. if you don't know what I'm actually saying over there, go back on last week's SP Dev Weekly and have a look. Custom search SBO using out-of-the-box features and open source web parts from Veronique. Really good walkthrough basically on the building the custom experiences and custom search results and using PMP modern search web parts. So basically walking through the whole experience. And I think we have a good end result of what you can have. So that's one way of actually showing the end results. And there's multiple ways of rendering the results and then having refiners like we did have in the past as well using the BMP web parts. So pretty cool. And a final note from Mark related on this one, SP Dev Docs, if you are familiar with what this is, we've started creating, Mark is leading this, creating a kind of a usage doc. So how would I put it? Non-dev guidance for SharePoint and non-SharePoint topics a while back in a GitHub repository. And Mark is kind of leading that. Now there's a new movement related on that one. So we are relocated, and that documentation is already relocated to a new GitHub repository location, which is actually in Microsoft Docs and Microsoft 365 community. And what we're looking to do here is that pretty soon we are publishing all of these documents in the docs.microsoft.com using a pretty UI, but we're using GitHub behind the scenes as the source. And then those who contribute, they will get acknowledged on a monthly basis and all of that. So kind of a similar model of what we've been doing in the dev side, but obviously extending that to non-dev area as well. Good. That's it for the articles. A lot of stuff this week. So good to see a lot of new stuff. And let's actually just sum up. What's going to happen this week? Are you going to stay at home? Agnes, you're traveling quite a lot. How much do you travel?
Well, last year I traveled over 100. I think it was 115 days in total.
Wow,
that's a lot.
I'm home for like 10 more days, and then the craziness happens again. Yeah. Yes. I have clients, you know, in Singapore, in the US. It's a lot. But anyway, I do what I like.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. It's obviously as the CEO of the owner of the company, you can decide actually when you're going to fly or not.
Absolutely. That was one of the most important reasons why I started my own business. You know, having three children is a challenge itself.
Yes.
I used, I think I'm back in, when was it, 2010 timeframe. I think I was traveling 26 weeks in a year, so half of the year basically away.
Wow.
So not anymore though. No, I'm like,
yes.
Plus the fact that technology has evolved so much. And nowadays it's really seriously feels like we're sitting on the same room. So it doesn't really matter. So
I'm yet to have a first call on whether Teams or something else that doesn't start, can you hear me? Can you see my screen? I'm really curious, how long will it take until it works just as a phone? You pick it up, you call someone, and it just works.
Yeah, true.
So it's like, yes, it evolves, and we've come a long way. Still, like, there are so many things, like the audio, the mics, the conference room, the table doesn't work, the speakers, yeah.
But it's right. Getting better. It's getting better.
It is. Plus, we need to fly collectively less because of the carbon negative.
Absolutely.
Thing. Absolutely. So yes. You at Microsoft, you are example, right? You need to fly less.
Well, I haven't been in Redmond since I don't know when.
2 weeks. No.
No, I haven't. Last time I actually saw my manager was in Ignite. So, but then on the other hand, we meet every now and then in the video. It doesn't matter. That's the new age thing. As long as we make things happen, why would it matter? Why would you have to be in the same room? Doesn't
exactly.
really matter at all. So. But cool. Any last words from either one of you? Why is search cool?
Search is cool. Search is, like, when you think of it, it's really the, like, it underpins everything, right? Because like no matter what you put out there, without search, you will not be able to find it. And sure. And we are now, I don't know, like, I think there was, well, I don't even know the number, but apparently, like, every minute there's so many YouTube video hours coming out.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Without being able to search through it, and that is maybe even additional challenge because it's video. So you have to be able to understand what's being said, the context of that, and then be able to search through that. Without being able to do that, it's useless. You will be watching cat videos the whole day. And it's amusing and funny, but it doesn't really take you anywhere.
Right.
And which the stream does support that, right? Microsoft Search actually is indexing stream videos, which are in Office 365, which is actually pretty cool as well.
Yes, actually, it's really cool because if you upload a video to stream, it gets transcribed automatically. Yeah. And then when you do a search, it searches in the transcription.
Yes.
So it shows you who said and what, which is amazing. It's really cool.
Yeah. We've gone a long way since you started, Agnes, right?
In 2001. Well, for one, there was no video back then. VHS was the thing, right?
Probably, yes. But we, you know, those days we did not have, I did not have internet. I mean, I had in the office, but not at home. Now I am sitting here in my home talking to you guys, and the three of us are sitting in three different countries, actually.
Yeah.
And nobody knows how many countries are, you know, the listeners we are sitting in. So it's really amazing. Yes.
Cool. I think that sums up the this time. So SPW Weekly. We should come up with something. We probably need to rename our SPW Dev Weekly.
Not SP and not Dev Weekly.
Yes. Let's just call it Weekly. Yeah.
PNP Weekly.
PNP Weekly. Yeah. That could actually solve it.
You're welcome.
Good.
Yeah. TM.
Yeah. Good. But thank you, Agnes. Thank you for joining us and really good insights on where you have spent your time, and also a good discussion related on where we're heading with search. And thank you, Waldeck, once again being a co-host on this one. So thank you. And thanks for the watchers. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
everyone.
Guys.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.